Our true home is your house of Father. We are conscious entity. Everything goes to its original source. Light a candle. The flame will go up, even to upward, even then the flame will go up. But the source of light, sun, is upward. You throw a cloud of earth very high in the heavens, again that will return to earth, because the source is earth below. So our soul is just controlled by these things and identified and being under the control of mind, which is material. We are always being led to the earthly things. So they tell us, this man body is not your permanent home, not this world. Your real home is above all heavens. It is that place which is the house of our Father. So naturally, those who come to that awakening, their angle of vision is changed. They consider self to be just stuck fast in the earth, whereas his true home is above all heaven. So body is the first companion, as I have told you, which came along with us when entering the world, whether king or the subject, rich or the poor, learned or the unlearned, all have to leave the body. In the saints, in the incarnation, they took body and left the scene, and we have also to leave the world someday. So it is a wonderful house we live in. This works, as I submitted already, it works only so long as we are body, and we are in the body so long as some power is controlling us in the body. So this is the high time. Man body is the golden opportunity that we have got. Why? Because in this man body only we can know God, and in no other body. All scriptures speak very highly about it, and they tell us that desire the full body as long as you are in the body. Kabir says, keep the body as long as you can. Rishi told, well, keep it at least up to 100 years. Once this is passes out of our hand, we will go where we are attached. If you are attached to the world, naturally you come round and round to the earth. If, while in man body, we know ourselves and have a contact with all consciousness within, naturally we'll go after death to the true home of the Father. So all scriptures tell us this is man body in which God is manifested, can be manifested. This is held by very good fortune. It is your turn to meet God. So man's the greatness lies in the fact that he know God. He can know God. If he has not known God, why brag so much, I am the head of all creation? So the highest thing that we have to find is to know God. So body is the true temple of God, in which you live in which the light of God is manifest. Outer temples were made after the man body, bundle of man body. All masters who came, they said, the two masks is the man body. God does not reside in temples made by human hands, but he does live in body, in the house which he has built in the womb of the mother. That's the man body. So outer places of worship, whether they are temples of the Hindus, they are dome-shaped, whether they are mosques, forehead-like shaped, whether they are churches, long, nose-shaped, they are the two symbols of God are kept. God wanted one and wished to be many. There was vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. So God is light, and God is nada. God is the music of the spheres. So these outer temples are made just to let the beginners know that such like guide and such like light and such like sound of God, voice of God is reverberating within your own man body. The body in which you live, that is the true temple of God. Outer temples were only made to let those understand, those are new, what is what. So the same light you have got in the churches, the same light is lit in the temples, the same light is lit in the mosques. So these are only models made, which is the better, best of all. So Master tells us that man body is the best of all in which the light of God is emerging. So I mean the idea of all religions at our hand is what? A Sikh is he who sees the full effulgence of light within him. He is called a Khalsa. A Hindu is one who, instead of lighting outside, he lights the within, sees the light within. A Mohammedan one who sees the light of God. And a Christian is also one who sees the light of God. Ultimate goal is the same. That school is better in which many students come up successful. Which school is better? Which has got high, very grand buildings, very good playing grounds, very good dresses of the students. No student passes that gets a higher degree. A watch is there made of gold, studded with rubies, and it does not give time then. So man body, that religion, that school of thought is the best in which that turns out so many successful students who see the light of God. But who can make us see that light of God? That's the question. Masters always say that light is within you. The body is the temple in which the light of God is effulgent. Why, man, you are going round and round outside. If you want to find him, tap inside. That is what Emerson says. So for that reason, it is the Master's cry said, I have come to make people see who do not see. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. We are all children of light, enveloped by so many sheets. You know how to take off these sheets, you see the light is already there. So for that reason, that is there, why can't we see? Master says there is light within. The reason is, because in contact with mind and matter, soul is going round and round, because wherever it attaches, it will go there. And further, the law of karma, cause and effect, as you sow, so shall you reap, that goes on in operation. If you sow a good seed, you will reap good fruit. If you sow a bad seed, then the result will be bad. So now the only thing remains, and the mind position, the more you give him, the more it wants. The more you enjoy outside, the more mind, more enjoyment. So the Christians tell us what is that, by knowing which there is nothing more remains to be known. Mind is permanently satisfied. That can be had, that is within us. Master says that we have seen God everywhere. And we also see, I have seen God in this man body too. Why do we not see? They say mind stands in the way. So first thing you see, we have to control the mind. And Master says, you have got a resolute will, to meet God, put a step on your mind first, control it. The next step that you will take, that to reach the house of your father. Now, how to control the mind? Masters have gone into it, they found that mind is attracted by outside enjoyments, which you go into, you'll find there are two things special in them. One is good scenery, good beauty, that attracts anybody. Further, outer music. Mind is driven away like that. So God has made that arrangement within us too. And that is more beautiful, more sweet music of the spheres going on. So Master, what do they give? They take this habit of the mind, they give him the more bliss, more joy, more music within us. And they give a demonstration of that. By giving you a demonstration how to withdraw your attention from all outside and withdraw from your body, bring it to the level of the eye where that single eye is open. If thine single eye be open, single eye be open, your whole body shall be full of light. So light and sound principle is the water of life, bread of life, nectar of life, nectar of nam, which mind once has a taste, all our outer tastes are forgotten. So for that you see there are two things God has kept in our body, you see light and sound. The two powers there, one of seeing, you got light, all glory and beauty lies within you. Astral plane is more beautiful than the physical one, causal still more, your eyes above all these, you have got still more light, good thing. Similarly, sound principle is within you. So masters, what they do, they give you a demonstration of that within you. If you want a small child, you shut him up in a house, what will he do? He will cry, he will break the doors. If you get something more fascinating, more enchanting within, then he won't like to come out. Now mind does not withdraw from outside for the bliss he has got by outer enjoyment. When he wants this water of life or bread of life is given by his master, the demonstration given at a sitting, then he got more bliss, more beauty that time, then the mind does not want to come out as well. When you get that bliss, all other outer enjoyments don't attract you. You know, in the life of Lord Krishna, it is said he plunged into the river Jamuna. Underneath he found a hydra-headed cobra, hydra-headed. So while playing on flute, he controlled the cobra. This is a metaphorical speech. How this mind is the hydra-headed snake within you. There are hundreds of ways to keep you away from God and from the truth, from the masters. You can control it only when you come in contact with the light and the music of the spheres within you. So, what it is that brings us into the world again and again, these are the outward enjoyments. So when you get to have this, then naturally you won't come back. You will go where you are, get more bliss and more joy. So now the question is how to come out of this delusion. As I submitted before, our soul is in the control of mind. Mind is the control of the outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are attracted like anything by outward enjoyments, we are identified with the body and outward faculties and the outer world so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. We cannot discriminate. So masters, what they do? They advise us to come to a master who will give you a demonstration of that. So all masters in East and West express the same thing by giving out the same solution in their own ways. Christ came up. He gave out, except ye be reborn, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, who the Jewish had, great learned man, he came up to Christ and said, we are old men, how can we re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? And the Christ told him, well, look here, you are a learned man, you command respect from everybody. Don't you know that flesh is born of the flesh and spirit of the spirit? Then he says, you must be reborn. To reborn means one birth in this man's body, the other into the beyond. So India also, this old rishi had the same thing. You must be twice born. One birth in this bad body and one into the beyond. So this custom was there in the old days. 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old children were made twice born and they were given Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra means rise above body, accept the rays of the sun coming to you, rise up into sun and become identified with the sun. O God, direct our attention to that. This is a prayer. So children 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old were made twice born. This Gayatri Mantra was given to them. Along with that, they gave him the demonstration to see the light of God within the sun. Now the same custom prevails amongst Hindus. But for want of practical people, they give the same mantra but no demonstration. Further, you see, all Master says, death is awaiting each one of us. There is no escape from death. Whether old or young, or learned or unlearned, that's the door of the death through which each one of us to pass. That narrow is the way, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leads to light within you, how to pass through it. This is a practical question, that is to be reborn, to be twice born. Then they say, learn to die so that you may begin to live. As they submitted you to you, behold, you would like to know God. Just in dying atheist said, yes, God is some power here now. At the time of death, when child read out, God is now here. Or even if he rise above body consciousness, we see that power is controlling us in the body. So, what is the solution of that? To be twice born? To be reborn? To just learn to die so that we may begin to live? This death, Prophet Muhammad also says, Mautu Kevalam. Kevalantu Mautu, die before you are ready to die, when you die. Dadu says the same thing. All of the masters say the same thing. And they ask how the outgoing faculties are inverted. Once somebody questioned Guru Amar Das, how these outgoings are inverted. Can you better sit and see? It is a demonstration to be given how to withdraw from outside. When it is withdrawn, how to fight? Find the body, you rise above body consciousness just as one man does at the time of death when he leaves the body. The soul reaches the back of the eyes when the eyes are upturned. And from there, leaps into the beyond. So this is while living, that silver cord on which their life is based is not broken. while alive. When that is broken, we are not to return. So that is why the request of Prophet Muhammad, is it such a death which will lead us to the grave? Said, no. It is a death which will lead you from darkness to light. So, this is just a prison house. We are in the prisoners in the prison house of the body. All doors are locked. How to go up? So Mawlana Rumi says, well, make a hole in the roof and go out. There are ways of expressing the same thing. Those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, they have the same experience as one has at the time of death of leaving the body. So for that, naturally, one has to pray, O God, send us such like men who can take us out of the man box of the man body. Swami also said, no other man would be able to take you out of the box of the man body except the master. So death awaits each of us, and there is no escape from here. Then what is how to conquer death is to learn to die so that we begin to live. Once you know how to rise above body consciousness, death becomes a joy. St. Paul said, I die daily. This is dying daily. Take cross daily. This is what is taking cross daily. So you'll find kingdom of God cannot be had by observation, it is within you. God realization then comes not possible without a Godhead. Why can't we do ourselves? And I submitted, we are identified with the man body, outgoing faculties and the world, that we cannot differentiate ourselves. And we have recourse to the methods and practices which is related to the outgoing faculties, body and intellect. Those who are already identified with these, how can they rise above body consciousness by performing those very practices we relate to them? So it is a matter of someone who can drag you out of the box of the man body. So they pray for that. So God is within us. There are 10 doors in the body. 9 are apparent. 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, 2 underneath. And there is a 10th door, which opens into the beyond, which lies at the back of the eyes. So, the soul under orders, command of the mind, which is going out through the 9 doors. So 9 doors are the doors of senses. You see? So unless we withdraw from the 9 doors, come to the seat of the soul, which is the 10th door in the body, from where man can go into the beyond too. So we need somebody to help us. We cannot ourselves do, because I just submitted. We are already identified with these things. So masters, what they do, the very first day, give a demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. And the man sees himself, I'm risen, he sees inner eyes open, sees the light of God, he bears testimony to it. So that is why Master said, don't believe in the word of the Master unless you see for your own self what he says, maybe little or more. So many have gone that way, but they have not found the way which leads to life. They close their eyes nowhere else because they are still in the body. They may visualize anything, premeditate anything that won't take you anything into the beyond. So we need a teacher at every stage of life. As a child, we need parents, brothers and sisters. In the schools, we need teachers. In all outward subjects, which relate to the outgoing faculty, mind or intellect, we need somebody's guidance to take that way. Now this is a subject where all world philosophies and their religion starts. Religion means re, means back, digit to mind. Does nobody is needed there? You can rise above yourself when it's good. What more is wanted? If not, why not pray, O God? In this age, you see, there's a prayer, O God. There was a contact of such a person who is in tune with you. At night while going before sleep, he says, O God, meet us the masters who may give us a contact with you. So man, masters are the link between man and God. So the 9 doors where we are, these lead to senses. And the 10th door into the beyond. For that reason, you see, those who have met the masters, they solve the mystery of life themselves. When they left the scene, the master left the world. To keep their teachings alive, the school of thought, or the so-called social bodies, came into being. So that, if no, with a noble purpose it was, so that many people may derive benefit from the man body. So as long as they are practical people, people derive the benefit. For want of practical people, the same formation resulted in stagnation, and stagnation results in deterioration. And then the master again come up, well, you are going amiss. So man made religions for the best use of it. To make the best use of them. These men were not made for religions, but religions were made for man. To make the best use of them. So God is all joy, all happiness, all wisdom. Our soul is of the same essence as that of God. We are also, you see, have wisdom. The wisdom lies in what? In man body only can we can know God. Have you done anything to do that? If we have not done things, you see, we must have taken from foresight, because after all we have to leave body someday. No exception to do. What have we done so far? Are we going on with the eyes closed? A pigeon sees, a cat comes, if he closes his eyes, will he come in his attack? Cat will eat him up. So this is most personal thing, most important, which concerns our very self, and about which we have what we have done. So I have just given you some self-evident facts, and we have to feel what is best to be done before us. Time and tide waits for no man. The earlier we do, the better. That we have, death is no bugbear, it is a change from physical plane to the next higher plane. So if we are tied to God, naturally we'll go to God, in the lap of God. If we are not attached to Him, we are attached to the world, our coming and going will go on. So we have got the man body, we have the golden opportunity. How to make the best use of it is to know God, and to know God we must know ourselves first. Masters come, they don't come to change outer forms. Because man is a social being, he must have some social body to live in. They allow it all right. First step is taken. More of that, you see, more than 700 social bodies in the world. They don't touch this. But the purpose for which those social bodies came to be, and whatever models are made there to show the true temple of God, which is our body, put in two symbols of light and sound, that is for the beginners. But that we should just come round to the man body, which is the true temple of God, in which we live. So this is what is before us, whether we giant one school of thought or the other, that makes no difference. Sumas who come, they address, oh man, our old soul. They don't say, oh Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian, hear me, no. They are the labels we have carrying on our body to show in which school of thought we have giant, no God. So this is the subject today. We have to go and we will have to give 3 talks this in continuation. Those who are interested in these subjects, which is the basic teaching of all masters, they should listen to it and see how far they have succeeded, how further they can do.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the last 30 minutes of an evening talk given at the Unitarian Church on November 12, 1972 in San Francisco, California. Our reader this morning is Pradeep Sethi. Hi, Pradeep.
Hello. We continue to go through our readings on Light of Kirpal. We were on the question answer session on chapter 61 titled Finish Something Every Day. Matter, I have learned many things from great men's lives. I have read more than 300 great men's lives from the East and West both. Biographies pay. When I was studying in 7th primary, I read one book about Saint Ramanuja who got something from his guru. He came out, stood on a mound, and called for all the villagers of the place, "Look here, I'm going to give you what I've got, a very valuable thing from my guru. You're going to give without permission of your guru? You will go to hell." "Well, dear friends, I alone will go to hell. You will be saved." So, at that time, it struck me, if ever I will get something, I will give it. Though I have not done anything without the order of my guru, but still, that had struck me at the time. It is free, all free. These are the things possible for you to get. Don't do something daily. Finish something daily. That is actually much better. To do something daily is also good, but if you take up the other motto, I think you'll be much better off. I've got so much correspondence to attend to. More than 1,000 letters a month from all parts of the world. There are interviews, newcomers, so many things. People are writing for all reasons, for guidance. That is why I do one thing at a time. Some days I finish at 3 at night. I've got no letters on hand today. Finished, you see. If I leave one or two, I finish them the next morning. In this way, you're always buoyant, fresh, nothing burdening you. This is not spirituality. This is a general helping factor in life which makes you fit for everything. When I was writing the book, Gurmat Siddhant, one writer came to visit and was sitting by me at night. I started at 9 o'clock, went on writing as fast as possible. He was sitting watching me. It was 10. It was 11 o'clock. It was 12 midnight. 1 o'clock. "From where are you writing?" he said. "There's nothing before you to copy." I told him my master dictates to me. I'm writing so fast because I cannot keep up to him. What thought come up without thinking are always perfect. So, these are the things to be adopted and lived up to. That will make you a success in any line you take up. In my official career, I tell you, The job of comptroller was very intricate. I had about 42 officers in the whole office working under me. Any intricate cases that went to the head for orders, he sent to me. I would just open and set them in order. So this habit worked wonders in all my affairs. When I retired, the military attorney general came up. "Well, we had a wonderful man like you in our department. I've got it recorded in my report." Generally, when officers are there, bosses are there, sometimes those who work under an officer are not pleased and some over him are not pleased. If the bosses are pleased, those under are not pleased. In my case, both were pleased. So these are things which make you fit for everything, you see. I only read 3 novels throughout my career. One which I would recommend, Ivanhoe. Perhaps you might have heard of that. The other was The Last Days of Pompeii. And the third one, Westward Ho. That's all. All the rest were biographies or life stories. So God teaches you, just do one thing at a time, wholly and solely, and finish something daily. That will be all right. That will give you a very good subject for your story, will it not? Yes. Devotee, Master, I copied out the talks you gave the other night about God's complaint. Master chuckles, all right. Devotee, most wonderful topic, and some people want to copy that talk. They want to make a copy of the copy that I made. Is that all right? Master, I would think so, but show it to me before passing it to anyone. In places, it might not have been interpreted correctly. Put it into a manuscript, if you like, and send it to me. I'll find time to go through. With all I've got to do, I've still more time, you see? Yes? A devotee, should I give it to you exactly the way it came off of the tape then? And then, Master, whatever is there in the tape, write out exactly. I'll see to it, put it in a manuscript and give it to me. Devotee, there were certain, at certain points, because I was writing it for my own self, I changed. Master, no, exact words. The morning talks were given to me from the tape. I went through them, you know, all those talks you have got will make very wonderful books for you. On all subjects. Yes, devotee. I have taken exactly word for word the talk you gave on Ojas, January 27, 1971. And I've given it to such and such, and she's going to go over and type it neatly to be submitted to you. Master, yes, that's all right. I know what I'm talking, but put it in writing. So many other men who come here have had 101 questions, very valuable information on all different subjects. You got something? So why do I have to tell this to you? Why don't I keep it reserved with me? Do you know? I wish each one of you to become like me. And even more than that. I wish you progress even more than me. I wish you, each one of you, to become ambassadors. Devotee, Master, when we get discouraged a little, is this the ego involvement that I am doing it? Master, again, keep one thing in view. Rome was not built in a day. You cannot do everything in one day. A wrestler becomes a wrestler by working day and night for months, for years, not in one day. I will tell you my ignorance. When I was reading in third primary, I heard one man talking very fluently, giving a lecture, and thought, from where is he reading? I was a very voracious reader of books. I read one full library of my college, one full library on all subjects. I have read about 3 libraries altogether. You gather so many things, you have to work for it. It will not come in one day. Don't be discouraged. Go on with it, you'll become that. These things should become an incentive to you to work for, not discourage you. I won't tell you that I fell down from heaven direct. I was born as a man, you see. So, man is made. He is in the make. Regularity pays. Mind that. If you do something daily, like John Bunyan, even then you'll give to the world a pilgrim's progress. If you finish something daily, then still more wonderful. I'm not talking to you about spiritual matters now. This is daily living, is it not? I told you the other day, when I was writing in the high class, there were examinations given. I used to take foreign history. British history was one part of the subject. My point was, I read not one but 2, 3, 4 histories of the same country by different authors. All don't agree in detail. Some give more, the others less. The teacher gave notes on the main points, facts. Then the examination was given. There was a maximum of 55 marks to be given out. I replied from references I had read in my own language. Another man gave out word for word from notes dictated to him by teacher. So he gave me 54 marks out of 55 and gave that man 35 out of 55. He complained, "I given every word that you have dictated to me. Why did you give him 54 and not me?" "Because you have given word for word what I dictated." He, Kripal Singh, has said what all historians say. Teachers love you when you do work for them. Parents will love you. Your guru will love you. Yes, in my official life too, in my student life too, I was loved. The teachers were proud of me. The teacher would even leave the class to me. I was reading in the 10th class when the teacher left the class and asked me to teach them. In my official life, they were also confident. Any new thing that came up, the officer said, "Give them all to him, Kripal Singh." My master would say, "Go to him, Kripal Singh. He will open all parts of the bayonet and then reassemble it and tell you how it works." This was through the greatness of him, of course. So, your parents will be proud of you. Your teachers will be proud of you. Would you not like that? But all phases have to be developed. All right. God bless you all. Go wiser to your beds. God bless you. The next chapter, 62. A seed has been sown. February 23, 1971, Morning Darshan in Rajpur. Can only the spiritual seed which we have sown here in earthly life be developed in the beyond? And then, secondly, when we have made no effort to develop current ability, can we develop them in the beyond, Master? It will take a longer time there as compared with here. What will take years to do, there you can do here in months. That's the difference. The seed cannot be destroyed, but it can be developed here more quickly than there in the beyond. So, in man body, we have got more glimpses. And in those cases, in the beyond, only that seed will grow in which you have not the slightest attachment to the world. Otherwise, you'll have to come back as a man body and develop it. Do you follow? A seed has been sown. For instance, in those who have been initiated, that seed has been sown. It is growing. If you develop here by coming in contact with that God power and all other attachments are cut off, then you're not to return. You'll have to dwell there, but in a longer time as compared with here. If the seed is sown, and you got hundreds of attachments here, then you'll have to come back as a man, not below the category of a man. That's the point. Scriptures say something, but they are very brief. There are many side issues. Now, what I tell you appeals to common sense. The man who has got no attachments may not return. The seed will grow, but it will take longer. If a man has attachments, too many attachments, give and take here, there, he has to come back. The seed has not grown. If the seed had grown, that would have helped in becoming unattached. Do you follow? If the seed is grown here, it is like a canker in the temple. Outwardly, it appears all right, but inside, it's all eaten up, you see. Just the same, the seed is sown. If you've developed, then you'll be unattached in the inner way. It will help in that way. Now, that point is clear, is it not? That's good. So, that is why it is said, if you're a learned man at the time of leaving your body, you'll remain learned. You cannot become a saint by coming out of this room. You are what you are here. By simply going out of the body, you cannot become a saint. You are what you have developed. I think that appeals to common sense, does it not? I ask you, does what I'm telling you appeal to common sense? Devotee, yes. What else, please? Yes. Devotee, it is said in Spiritual Gems by Master Baba Saval Singh that if one cannot quiet the mind by just sitting, it should be done by sheer force. Now, when he said by sheer force, that is not sitting without any effort. So, there's a contradiction there. Master, in that book you read some excerpts from letters which were originally given in Punjabi language, not in English. I don't vouchsafe the correctness of the translation done. Do you follow? I've got those real letters with me, copies, two copies, which our master gave to me. I've got more copies of them. So, that letter, you must sit by sheer force, was written to one man who said, I cannot sit. Well, you must sit. I order you. It was for the disciples' sake, you see. Someday, you may say, I cannot sit. And I will say, well, you must put in more time, whether you want it or not. That is what he meant. But if you are under compulsion, there, your whole effort is in the strengthening of the ego. How can you go on? The right way of doing meditation is to repose. So, books do not give us true teachings. And moreover, when these books are translated into another language, the true things cannot be properly interpreted. Master gave those original letters to me only, nobody else. And I kept four copies with me and returned the others in a very beautiful casket to Master. They know the contents. There is no difference of opinion. He said, here's the man who can repeat my words and tell us what we are to do. By adopting their very virtues, you become saints in their eyes. I wish each of you to begin to live by their virtues. You will have transmission. So, history usually shows when masters leave, two things start. The one who is given mastership and he never gives it to his own children, maybe in rare cases, if anybody is fit, leaves the place. Guru Nanak had two sons. Both started mastership at home, but he gave it to Guru Angad, who left that place and went to some other place. Guru Angad had so many children, He gave it to Guru Amar Das. Among us, you see, and the children started their mastership at home. In all other cases, this happens similarly. So, Master told me, all right, you go. Wherever you go, your master is with you, and the people will come up. Where there is honey, all bees will come up. This is but natural. That is the background of why I mentioned those letters, the original letters in Punjabi. The book was issued in the name of Baba Sawan Singh. It was his graciousness. He did it. So I told you what he has translated in English and printed in a great saint, Baba Jaimal Singh, his life and teachings are the most important of the letters. As for those not translated by me, I cannot vouchsafe the correctness of the translations thereof. But you will get some good out of it because Spiritual Gems was a wonderful writing. Everything that is given in the original language is to the point. In translation, what happened to the Bible? You know, there were so many translations, then now again more translations. I give you all the herbs and the seeds for meat. Take all the herbs and as meat. That's the original translation. We have seen how it has been differently translated. Don't use intoxicants. When President Kennedy was killed, I saw on television the throwing of wine, giving of that outer intoxication. They use wine instead of the inner intoxication. They have wine intoxication for outer means. So you see how these things get started. Kennedy's friend, the owner of 14 big ships, was initiated by me. He had to come down to southern United States after the tour. Kennedy also had a mind to be initiated, and he was assassinated on the way. He was a good man in himself, Kennedy. We were talking about his work in our homes. He was wide awake. So how do all these things come about? There is also a reason. Inner intoxication or coming in contact with the word within you is something else. We restrict the use of any intoxicants which give vent to intoxication outside. The effects are what I've seen on television. For want of practical people, these things come about from within religions. So religions say there's God, there's soul, there's man-body. Why all these different cults and all these different factions? Because they've forgotten the original thing. Now, there's more than 700 cults. Really, there is only religion. Re means back, legio means to bind. To bind your soul back with God is religion. These are the facts as things were, you see. They have taken the social bodies as their religion. What you can express in the English language, your mother language, I cannot express exactly in Punjabi. I find I'm wanting for words to express my thoughts from Punjabi into English for want of vocabulary. You might say, there is great beauty in the original word. You know better than me in English, do you not? There are some words in Punjabi you cannot express in English. I have got some bit of English, I cannot relay that I know too much. There are words in the mother language that cannot be translated. When I went to Louisville and gave talks there, one man who is one of the three most learned people in the world met me. He said, "You are the only man who has appealed to me so far in life. I don't know much English, only just enough to serve my purpose. To bring home something, but it is not exact. Mother language is something else, is it not?" So, language loses in translation. the exact meanings are spoiled. I tell you, are they not? So men who translate what they have understood from other people who have interpreted for their own understanding, if they have not known what the science really is, they go amiss. Such and such has translated the Sikh literature. He has done a little bit better, but even then they do not know the science. So how can they do full justice to the work? In the instances I am quoting you, the men who were ignorant about the science translated in English, whatever they were told, there are so many changes in the verses of the Bible. I had some opportunity when I was in service to have a superintendent in my division who was a Christian. He was a librarian from Lahore. So he brought two of the best books in his library to me every week. I read through all those books, old literature, for a year or two. I know that I cannot exaggerate, but I think I learned more about Christianity than Christians themselves. This is because they have not known the basic principles therein. Many people do not know old literature. It is through this old literature that I got a literary insight into Christianity. I cannot say that I've known everyone, but I've had correspondence with teachers and with teachings of other masters. So that is why I feel I am an authority in this work. So God was teaching me, you see. I studied the Persian language up to the highest standard in order to understand books of Mohammedan literature in their original language. I remember reading a quotation somewhere, "It is easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven." Yes, is not a rope going through a needle more logical? This means those whose attention is expanded in so many other respects, that's all, translations cannot be taken literally. Those who know the science, no, they can express better because it is a matter of seeing. Those who have seen gave out the right interpretation, which can only be given by somebody who knows the science, who has seen. Those who would like to give out at the level of intellect cannot do full justice to it. Devotee, I know two initiates who in the beginning read this and they found contradictions in it and your teachings. Very minor ones, but it created a lot of problems in their minds. Master, yes, I explained that. That is the translation of letters, not the original. I just issued the gist of all those letters in a separate heading in Baba Janal Singh. I did not quote exact letters, though out of those letters I have got with me. I gave instructions on that particular aspects of spirituality under different heading in the life of Baba Janal Singh. You see, there are many things in the original letters. So many letters, the gist of the letters which pertain to the science, I gave out in Baba Jamal Singh. You'll find teachings there which are the gist of those letters written by Baba Jamal Singh. So I sorted out from the originals which I had in my possession. So now you'll find differences qualitative. You see, yes, devotee, I was reading this by such and such person and I was amazed in one section. It said that the master gave initiations to over 700 people and out of that only two saw light. Only two saw light, he said in the book. Master, then here, last day, Master gave to 653 people, all saw. Over 200 had the master's form. There are some who read the charged words. I say the teachings are the same, the words are the same, but they aren't charged. So what is the difference? All right, I got a letter. He is now a forerunner of a group. He wrote to me a letter. I have got a letter in which it is written, if any man wants inner experience, his life will be cut short by 2 years. I've got that letter. Now they're afraid of asking for any experience. Would you like to have your life cut short by 2 years? Has your life been cut short? So these things are issued to serve their purpose. Men do not even know the exact position of meditation. He wrote to me, does meditation do anything in the nervous system? He asked if I said, no man becomes more fresh. It is the bread of life. Such like people are their leaders. And my time is up. I'll have to stop here for now. And with Master's grace, continue the next time. Thank you everybody for listening. And thank you, Master, for giving me this opportunity to read your beautiful words.
And thank you, Pradeep, for reading Master's gracious words to us. There were 84 participants at this morning's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Divine Master, for your valuable guidance and blessings.
So thank you all of you for your patient hearing, what I have come to know for this week for you. I will carry my sweet remembrance of you all and pray God may take you back home. That's all I can say, the best wishes I can have for all of you.